Hi, I'm Sylvia Soska.
And I'm Jen Soska.
And we're the Twisted Twins, and you're listening to the Content Cast right now.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
How would you possibly know our names from earlier? Jen and I are independent horror filmmakers. We're writer, director, producers. You might have heard of a little film that we got out called Dead Hooker in a Trunk. And now we're at it again with a new feature called American Mary. And we are happy as fuck to be here. Thank you guys for having us.
Thank you so much for having us, although we should have asked if we could say fuck before we said fuck.
Oh, can we say fuck?
We've said it now.
Now we're banned again.
Good night, everybody.
Well, I can't
rip up... Show ends.
I can't rip up my laptop, but yes, you're more than welcome to say fuck. And the other seven deadly words... We do rock the explicit tag on the Conduit Cast, so all is fair game.
Oh, that's awesome! Freedom of speech.
Yeah, go figure. What is
this? We have a tape delay. We just cut the words every 5 seconds.
Right. And that enchanting voice that all of our listeners hear once again is of course the one and only. From Wicked Channel and Cinema Head Cheese and many other endeavors that I fear to speak of at this point is James DiPaolo. How are you, sir?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Before we start, I want to say congratulations to you, Chris. Congratulations, sir.
Congratulations.
We're on the Dawning commentary.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well.
You and James Cortez, congratulations. That is fucking oh, I said fuck. I'm
He's censored. In trouble, though.
The word spreads even when I don't spread it, doesn't it, James?
That is awesome. You got any news about that yet?
Other than the fact that the commentary happened, Sunday night, we sat down and with Greg Holtgrew, the writer-director of Dawning, and we did a feature-length commentary that will be on the DVD upon its June 28th release, and it was just a lot of fun. It was a great honor to be asked to do it, and just hoping that everything that we talked about can give back to the genre community a little bit and continue to kind of bring everybody closer. So it was really exciting.
That's
Yay,
really
congratulations.
Cool. Congratulations, that's awesome. Did you find it hard to talk for the entire process of the film? Because we had just done director commentaries a little while ago, and I found it was like, what are we going to say now?
Well, the funny thing is that you'll probably learn fairly quickly that I don't find it hard to talk for long periods of time at all. But the other thing, you know, being married and a father of a young boy, it's a wonderful experience when I can actually sit and someone will listen to me talk about these films. I didn't find it hard at all. And what was nice was that this is, you know, an additional commentary. So it wasn't so much about the filmmaking nuts and bolts. We really got to give our personal experiences with the film and react to individual scenes and kind of the overall theme of the narrative. So it was pretty easy to do. It was just kind of, you know, putting your heart out there on your sleeve and talking about something that you're really passionate about. So wasn't bad at all.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, I will be framing my wound DVD cover with Mr. DiPaolo.
Yay.
On it. And at the same time, I'm rubbing that on my crotch slowly. I'll be listening to my commentary on the Dawning CD or DVD.
Hey.
But I have to say, after you know having James on the MegaCast with all those fine filmmakers, I really wasn't anxious to have him on the show again.
I hate that fucker.
A good majority of the feedback was, My favorite part of the show was when you got up and went to the bathroom and James took over. So, needless to say, I contacted Jen and Sylvia Soska about an interview, and they, strangely enough, mentioned that they did listen to the MegaCast, and their favorite part of the show was also when I got up and went to the bathroom and James took over.
Thank you. That's bullshit. He's lying.
So I knew that that I had to once again rape and pillage James for his sources and involve him in the show. But what I think is going to be really cool once we get started here is that James does have a very, very close and long relationship with the two of you.
Long.
And I think it's really going to benefit the show, but most important, the people that are listening, to have James on here and kind of really running the show in a sense, because he has a deep understanding, even more so than I do, of what you two have done and are doing. So I think before we get into the meat and the potatoes of what I'm sure a lot of people are waiting to hear about, I just wanted to let you guys talk a little bit more about Dead Hooker and also the upcoming UK DVD release, as well as where things are going in terms of North American release. So if you two want to start on that, and James, I'm going to hand you the reins for a bit. So put down your bottle of bourbon and focus. I know it's after 8 in the morning there, so I'm sure you're already a couple in. So.
Oh, yeah.
Go to it.
All right, ladies.
Hey, I think that's what Folger said. The best part of waking up is bourbon in your cup, and then they have to change it to coffee.
Oh, goodness.
So what's different about the UK release than what we have as screeners? I mean, what do you guys got different?
Well, it has a whole different color mix on it, a proper sound mix. There was a lot of issues with it being independent. We only had two wireless mics at any time while we were filming. And
sometimes one.
A lot of the time one. It was a comedy of errors, and seeing how fast we could think on our feet when things were going to hell, as I'm sure everybody knows with independent filmmaking. But it's really beautiful looking. It's kind of funny because there's some torrents online, and we look at them and we're like, oh, I wish it was a nice color correction that got pirated, but you know, in time.
Yeah, for all you pirates out there, that is not the picture or sound quality. How disappointing to have your film ripped and then have like a shittier version ripped.
I know, it's like I wanted to upload the other version, be like, here, steal this one instead. This,
if you must,
nicer.
Watch this.
One thing you should not ask a thief to do is be patient.
I guess that's the whole point of the matter. If they wanted to wait until May 23rd for the Bounty Films release, then they probably would have waited. But it's interesting because they're doing the marketing and the merchandising from the graphics we've given them. And we've gotten a few previews of what the boxes are going to look like. There's a UK and Australian release, and both of them are going to have different marketing. And it looks very more like a Valentine to old Grindhouse movies. It's very bloody, and there's chicks everywhere and cars. And you look at it, and it's your baby, and you're like, my baby got work done. She don't do this anymore.
Nice. So cool.
To the best of our knowledge, it's coming out simultaneously May 23rd in both Australia and the UK. And we're going to have, of course, director commentary, a technical commentary, a behind-the-scenes interview with Carlos Gallardo of El Mariachi, who is, of course, our god and Dead Hooker in a Trunk. And we also have a behind-the-scenes making-of featurette.
Yeah, very cool. And I wish we could say this, or the actual information that we have, but World Distribution has, there's a very big, very, very interested, aggressive company that has bought all the other rights. They have a huge release, planned for all the other regions, and they have one more absolutely amazing thing they're gonna do to, help get the word out about Dead Hooker and get people to seeing it, and it's gonna be absolutely amazing. But, this year, everyone, if they want to, they can see dead hooker in a trunk because it's going to be as accessible as a real hooker.
And who wouldn't want to see a dead hooker in a trunk? Come on. Come on.
So no news about a U.S. release yet?
We cannot say when it's coming, but I know James when it's coming, and it's going to be very soon. This year, you will be able to see Dead Hooker in the U.S.
Well, that's actually really really exciting, but also I think another good shot in the arm to the genre and independent film in general. You know, James and I are very passionate about that, and it's very. I can't speak for James, but I think when films like yours and filmmakers like yours, like you are, start getting noticed and start getting the distribution, I mean, we all take it very personally. We kind of swell up with that pride.
Well, you guys should, because there's no reason this film should have gone out this way. It's completely unprecedented. There are giant, huge studios coming over to our sales agents and being like, what is Dead Hooker in a Trunk? Because when I look online, it is fucking everywhere. What is this film? I need to get a chance at it. And they were fighting. And that's why the rest of the regions took so long, because there were big companies fighting with each other over who was going to get the release. So we are amazing. We are so fucking grateful to you guys, because we couldn't have done this on our own. You guys are the ones that said, fucking watch this movie. It's going to be fucking good. And fuck, man, you got good tactics because people listen.
James, you believed in us from the very, very beginning. Best movie of 2010.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, we haven't forgotten that quote. It'll be reappearing shortly.
Yes.
Thank you.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, thank you.
I just wondered if
thank
you were
going
to... I just wondered if you were going to... CGI James's face over the dead hooker in the trunk.
Who says we haven't?
So that UK release is going to be May 23rd, yes?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And before we move on, anything else you want to share about Dead Hooker, or James, any questions you have that you want to get out to the listening public before we get into the real nitty-gritty here?
I do want to ask a question. Let's just pretend that the people who listen to this show has never seen this movie before, Jen and Sylvia. Why don't you describe it to them and tell them what it's about?
Well, I would love to. Jen and I have always, always been these very weird girls that were attracted to horror movies or anything that was just explosive and exciting.
We spend too much time playing with bugs as children.
Yeah, we're just complete nerds. And I found I wasn't getting excited by anything that I was seeing when I was going into the theaters, and Jen wasn't either. But in 2007, Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino made a Grindhouse, which I was so excited about. And they had all these fake trailers and everything. And Jen and I had been going to film school at the time, and we wanted to make something that would be exciting, that we would actually like to be involved in. So Jen came up with this title called Dead Hooker in a Trunk, and at the time we had nothing else for it. And what we did is we created this very insane kind of wild dog of a script, because we knew we were going to be shooting it independently. And it's this story about four characters from four different walks of life. We didn't give them character names. Instead, we decided to give everyone a stereotype as a title. So the four protagonists are Badass, her twin sister Geek, Geek's Bible-thumping love interest, Goody Two-Shoes, and then, of course, No Badass is complete without her best friend, a junkie. And they go to a youth group and they pick up drugs, and they notice a particular smell in the back of their trunk, and what they find is a dead hooker's body. And what entails afterwards that is all sorts of completely fucking crazy hijinks that you wouldn't even expect in this film surrounding the dumping of this body. And what they do is they try to give some sort of a final piece to this woman they find, which a lot of people find funny because there's so much chaos and so much violence, but this one body is so important to these four that they have to make sure that they have some sort of an end for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's something that overall does endear your characters through all the chaos and through some of the questionable choices that are made. But there is, and And that may lead us into another topic of debate here, but there is kind of that endearing quality of, you know, despite everything that's going on here. I mean, it so easily could have been, you know, a finale where everyone just says fuck it and drives down the highway and dumps the body over the, you know, off the overpass or something, just to get their hands clean of it.
But, you sound like you got experience in this.
I can recommend the appropriate weights and measures based on body mass later. But it really was something special and something a bit different and refreshing to see that, you know, even though the satirical title of Dead Hooker in a Trunk, this was not just a dead hooker to the principals in the film. It was a woman. It was a woman's body, lifeless body that's still, just on a very human level, they wanted to deal with as a human and not just a piece of meat.
Thank you so much for saying that. In light of recent events, I think it's completely absurd that somebody would think that someone would make a film entitled Dead Hooker in a Trunk and make it a misogynistic, hateful piece of filmmaking. I don't even think that it really exists today. Usually artists just put satire in there and shock value to do something. It's not like there are a lot of films out there that are just hate propaganda, which is what we've been accused of as of late with our little film. But we get a lot of people that go in and they expect all this stuff, and they come out and they're like, I'm surprised how heartwarming that was towards the end. I mean, mm-hmm. You don't see forked penises and triads chopping up people with chainsaws and then actually feel like it touched you at the end, which mm-hmm. which was really nice.
Sure. I mean, and then you have James.
A hooker touched me. And she was dead.
Well, and there's a couple other films that I've seen, you know, floated around in the discussion. You know, one of them being a Serbian film which came under some scrutiny because of its content and a programmer wanting to show it. Where as opposed to yours, I look at it this way. You have Dead Hooker in a Trunk who's being frowned upon because of the title. You have a Serbian film who's being frowned on because of the content. You know, they didn't want to name, you know, a Serbian film Man Rapes Infant. then you have content and title, or you know, Man Fucks Eye Socket.
I would still see both.
And then you have a film from a bit back called Antichrist.
And, oh, I love that.
Yeah, and which I think is one of the most heart-wrenching tragic love stories I think I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. But also has you know, a somewhat shocking title and some shocking content as well. So, and I don't mean to lump these films together, but when I think of one frowned upon for its title, one frowned upon for its content, and then one frowned upon in some circles for content and title, I think there's an interesting dichotomy there with these three films.
It's very good company to be in. I'm honored. Yeah, it's really I was really surprised about a Serbian film. I have a lot of family members from European descent, and the economy there is so depressing. If you really look, like, if you look into, like, Hungary and Czech, but the main exports are pornography, and they're so poor there. They do almost anything, and I think the filmmakers in Serbia were just, sometimes you get so frustrated with a situation, you just feel like screaming. And I think that's what a Serbian film was. It was a cinematic scream about a situation that was completely out of control. Mm-hmm. And there is child trafficking there. And they even have that the woman who has to do bestiality in the film. And it's horrible that these people are so desperate for money that this is what they do to make a living. And for people not to see that this is a story, that this is heart-wrenching, that this is upsetting, and looking at it like they're trying to promote it is completely, completely ridiculous. You can't look at the last frame of the Serbian film and be like, see, they're approving this, they're encouraging it. It's so
awful. Even with the last line of a Serbian film, it's hard to see how someone could take something that's so extreme and so ridiculous so seriously.
Start with the little one.
Right.
I can't even not laugh when I hear start with the little one.
Right. That's how I always, the first thing I say when I start my private sex sessions with myself. So, well, let's do it then. Let's
start with a little one.
Yeah, let's start with a little.
Do it.
let's start with the big one then. Let's talk about the Roxy. Yeah.
The Roxy Theater in Saskatoon. Mm. Okay. So here is what happened for anyone that hasn't been up to date on what's happening. A lovely gentleman, John Allison of Dark Bridges Film Festival, approached us and asked us if we would let Dead Hooker play in Saskatoon. And we haven't played outside of Vancouver and in Canada yet. As Canadian filmmakers, we love Canada. We've been very strong in promoting independent film and Canadian film. And we feel that, you know, we're trying to make a voice for Canadian horror. So we're over the moon to be showing in Saskatoon. And he wrote to me not too long ago, and he said, have you had a lot of difficulty with your film title? Because we got an anonymous call to the Roxy Theater. They didn't leave their name. They didn't leave a number. They didn't leave any way to get in communication with them. But the person stated that Saskatoon should be ashamed of itself for playing a film titled Dead Hooker in a Trunk. A little background on the area is, since the early 1990s, Saskatoon has had a series of sex trade workers that have either gone missing or have been murdered. And they felt that the film title was in very poor taste. Of course, Dead Hooker in a Trunk is not at all reflective of any actual event. I mean, we had our very famous murderer here, the Picton Pig Farmer, who was taking out prostitutes here. I think he was very famously quoted as having killed 49 and telling one of the guards as he was being taken into prison, I wish I had one more to make it an even 50. I got sloppy. Hmm. But that's neither here nor there. It was a terrible event there, and it's a terrible event that happened in Vancouver. But we thought, you know, maybe if they don't like the title, they just won't see the film.
Mm-hmm.
The very next day, I got contacted by John Allison again, and things had escalated. Someone had gone around town and vandalized all of our posters. They tore off our posters, which shared, you know, with the taint, because it was going to be a double billing. And they just tore the shit out of them. And then another call came into the Roxy Theater telling the theater owner, Tom Hutchinson, that he has to cancel the theater, the screening. It's in poor taste. It's disgusting. And he did. Just like that, out of nowhere.
And he did without ever watching the film at all. And so what we did once we found out about that is we wrote an open letter to the Roxy Theater and Tom Hutchinson, trying to tell him, like, this is a film made by a Canadian crew. It's been made independently. It would be completely absurd if the title wasn't a satire. And I completely understand why you wouldn't want people seeing it. But at the same time, it doesn't make sense to ban a film without ever watching it and not looking into the actual merit that the film has and the people that worked on the film. To which we never got any sort of reply. As a matter of fact, he did respond to one of the festival directors that messaged him, and he said that because they do church groups there sometimes in the theater, that it would be completely inappropriate, which I thought was funny.
I know,
because,
right?
Because the church, Jen and I actually, we grew up Roman Catholic. Once we were filming Dead Hooker in a Trunk, we needed a church to film at, and the church was like, yeah, go ahead, film here. And when the film was finished, we invited the congregation. And I'm not silly. A lot of people are like, oh my God, you invited your congregation. They're going to turn to you, and they are going to be fucking pissed. And as soon as the movie was done, I look up at the hall, and there's a group of conservative older people waiting for me. And I'm like, okay,
here
it comes. This is it. And I walk up there, and they're like, are you one of the twins? I'm like, oh, yes, yes, I'm Sylvia. It's so nice to meet you. And this older woman walks over to me and grabs my arm. I'm like, uh-oh. And then she goes, I loved it. I wish I could do that. That crazy girl, the one with the gun, that's who I wish I could be. That was so well done. I just loved everything. And, oh, the hooker. And I was like, see, you can't judge a book by its cover. You give these people an opportunity, like, to watch a film. I mean, you can't just say people aren't going to like a film without ever watching it. Yeah, the title might be crass to some people, but at the same time, I've had people come over to me and buy the t-shirt because they wanted to piss off their parents because they like the shirt so much. It's just such a strange thing. You either go to see it because you want to, or you don't. You don't take away the option. You don't try and rule what adults do. It's just absurd.
Do you have a sneaking suspicion that there was not an anonymous phone call placed?
I believe there was an anonymous phone call placed. We have some of the most amazing fans and friends in the world. Not an hour after the entire incident went down, a friend from Saskatoon messaged us with links to the people that she knew were making the calls against
us. Oh, my God.
And it's like the Twisted Twins Mafia. It was like, hey, Jen, just so you know, this is her. And I was like, whoa, okay.
And when she says, friend, we have never heard of this person before. This is just a testament to how cool the people in the horror community are. They sent me a message filling me in on everything, being like, these are the people who are actually doing it, and this is what they're doing, and this is all their contact information, and these are all their postings, so if you guys want to go get them, go ahead. And I understand what it was, but when I looked at it, they were very, very young girls. And I hate to say it, but nothing ruins what women try to do for themselves than a stupid feminist. A misinformed feminist can make everyone look like a fucking moron, and it really pains me to say that I think this is a case of that.
James.
I was drinking orange juice, sorry.
Yeah. Unleash the fury, sir.
Let's go back to Saskatoon. I mean, does it offend you that somebody really just, you know, like, doesn't even watch your movie and says, you know what, we can't have this?
Yes, I find it very offensive. I don't think there has been a case in history where a film has been banned at a theater on title alone. There couldn't be a better example of judging a book by its cover, especially in Canada. I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is so not Canadian.
And usually the fact that we're both girls and there's a lot of strong, empowering imagery and characters in the film, no one has ever said we were sexist with this film. Ever!
That's so bizarre to call us sexist.
I was so shocked, and I thought, okay, this has been a misunderstanding, I'll just talk to the theater owner and we'll figure it out. Nothing! And on top of that, this is a testament to what a child Tom Hutchinson is. People mentioned, oh, so you're removing Dead Hooker in a Trunk without anything, without even watching the film, but you're going to be showing Hobo with a Shotgun next week and you don't think that's similar. Instead of backing down and being like, oh yeah, I'm a hypocrite, he pulls Hobo with a Shotgun, though there's over almost 100 people waiting to see it. Of course, he's still showing Black Swan. It only had 2 people in attendance last time they screened it. But this is the extent to which this man will go before saying, oh, you know what? Maybe I did fuck up. Maybe this is wrong.
Talk about a man who can't admit he's wrong. And now poor Hobo with a Shotgun is suffering as well.
That's such bullshit.
Again, another amazing independent Canadian filmmaker is just getting shit on for no reason. Well, I'm sorry that he got dragged into this, too.
I'm really sorry that Jason Eisner got dragged into this. He made a great film. It's really stupid.
It's apparent to me that over the course of, you know, whether it be months or even a year, that this gentleman may be looking for work in a different field. and I only say that, and I'm not just saying it for laughs. I'm saying because the way... not just independent film, but the film industry in general, the way the wheels are turning right now and the people that are kind of forcing, forcing the powers that be to actually make good decisions because their product is so good. People like him are going to have a really hard time trying to do what they're doing, because he clearly doesn't have a plan or a direction. He's not well thought out. He's very much, you know, running around the proverbial chicken with the head cut off, mm-hmm. kind of trying to plug the holes in the dam. And someone like that really isn't going to be able to prevent the flood from coming.
I'm really surprised that he doesn't have someone to answer to. If I had heard of this, I would be completely, completely shocked. I have people who don't even like horror movies. I have university professors I've never heard about before signing petitions, sending letters to him saying this is absurd to do in Canada, where we have freedom of expression, where we have freedom of speech, and just censoring things blatantly, and he's running around trying to censor everything in his theater to make it look like he was in the right. And it's so stupid. It reminds me of The People versus Larry Flint, where he gets in trouble at that big trial on grounds of taste. But you can't govern other people's taste. Either you agree with it or you don't, but you don't censor their right to have it.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we talked about last episode with Chris Powers, when he was going on and on about Canada being so lax in their rules and certain movies can play all the time and nobody would say anything. That's what shocks me about this one, is because okay. nobody's seen it, but they're complaining already.
It's just crazy. They had taken the smallest amount of time to Google Dead Hooker in a Trunk or the Twisted Twins or anything about us. They would see all our work for women in horror and all our feminism and all our gay rights equality and our blood donation. And to call us insensitive and uncaring, I don't think you could call someone a worse thing. What? I mean, us in particular.
Well, he went off to, he said that the taint was promoting child pornography. And I had seen, I know, James, you've seen the film, so you can see how ridiculous that is.
That's retarded. I don't mean to use retarded, but that's retarded.
I put it on because I was like, oh my gosh, well, what is this film that's been hanging around Dead Hooker and getting in trouble? And I watched The Taint, and I don't think I've laughed so hard ever watching a film. What a wonderful, wonderful satire. The fact that their penises drove them crazy, it was so fucking funny and so pitch perfect. And you couldn't take... I didn't see any child pornography. I think all the girls were of age. Yeah. If anything, and they thought that the movie was promoting killing women. Well, I saw so many men die in that, and I think it was more anti-penis than anything. And
it was utterly ridiculous, and I could, as I was watching it, I could hear feminists saying, oh, well, her tits got pulled out, and it's like, but their penises are out, man. Every single cock is out and being mutilated.
It was so funny. Oh, my God. If you haven't seen The Taint, you have to. It's just so, it reminds me almost of...
there's the quote of the show. If you haven't seen The Taint, you have to.
There's so many cocks out.
There are so many cocks out. It reminds me if South Park did, like, a hardcore horror. It was just,
yes.
It was so funny and satirical, and the gore was amazing. And there's boobs and penises, so if that doesn't get you to watch it, I don't know what else can.
It was a perfect just turn the brain off movie and enjoy.
Yeah, but then again, it got in so much trouble without ever being watched. It got in trouble because on the poster... the character was wearing sunglasses, and the sunglasses said, kill women, because it's about a drug that makes men want to kill women. I mean, it's not telling you to kill women. I mean, Kill Bill doesn't tell you to go and kill everyone named Bill. It's just so fucking stupid.
No, and the weird thing is, you're talking about, you know, you just said a drug that makes you want to go kill women. Well, how many films have we seen that men want to go kill women and they're not under the influence of any drugs?
Exactly.
But not to play this angle down, but aside from, you know, Dead Hooker being pulled, and, you know, obviously you two, because you are, you know, personally involved with your work and it has a place in your hearts, besides the fact that you two were hurt by the fact that happened and confused and angered, hasn't necessarily been a bad thing. I mean, a little bit of controversy never did hurt, did it?
especially not in this case. I think it's really funny because I think the people that wanted to remove the film wanted to hurt the film, and they wanted to bring attention to our naughty little title, but it had, in fact, the reverse effect. I've had so many emails from people I've never heard of that say, I don't know who you are, I don't know your body of work, and to be perfectly honest, I don't really care, but I heard about what happened with your film, and that really upsets me because I think it's censorship, and it's a very blatant case of censorship. Mm-hmm. Just so you know, we're supporting you.
And there's been... I don't know who is better than the people that make up the horror community, because these people are so kind and so amazing. I've seen there's articles everywhere, there's petitions, there's letters, and the movie is still playing. The movie is playing at a bigger theater, the Broadway Theater, just a little bit away from the Roxy, and there's a huge, huge, big buzz about it now of people who want to see it, and it did do some good. It got a lot of attention. It got a dialogue started, but...
My God, you couldn't ask for a better publicity shitstorm right before your film is released in two countries.
Well, and that's kind of what I was getting at with the silver lining, because this showing at the theater, quote-unquote, down the street, that came about after this, right? It wasn't showing concurrently. They decided to show Dead Hooker after the Roxy had banned it.
Yes, absolutely. John Allison went around to try and get, you know, another theater, and actually a few theaters approached him to take the film as well. And when he was taking his marketing around, he told local businesses, just so you know, this is what's happening with this film right now, but can we advertise through your store? And everyone said, yeah, sure, whatever. Dead Hooker in a Trunk? Yeah, no problem.
Mm-hmm. I don't really think the area had the issue that they did. I think there was just a few people who started chirping, and it got to a point where Tom made a decision where he just thought it would be easier and quieter to get rid of the film, and that is not what he got.
Right, right. He was kind of maybe in, and I certainly don't want to speak for him, but maybe in his mind he thought he was taking preventative measures because in some twisted way he envisioned some kind of hypothetical shitstorm that would have never come of it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I don't think he really was aware of the shitstorm that he was causing by canceling Dead Hooker in a Trunk. I mean, he got pretty invited to a lot of emails from people in Texas, the UK, Australia, worldwide. People had a problem with his cancellation. I was honored by how many festival heads actually contact him. In particular, the first two people that ever showed our film, Andrew Rose from Bloodbath Film Festivals in Texas and Nia Edwards-Behe from the UK from the Ghoulson Film Festival and the Abattoir Film Festival. And both of them said, just as people that show films, we need to tell you that I think you're a little bit misinformed about this film and that people do want to see it, obviously, from the people that responded to us from Saskatoon. There was, in fact, a demand.
I think the surprise was that it so blindsided us. We're completely about to start the next feature, and there's so many things that we're like, okay, people are going to get really pissed about this one. People are going to get really pissed. Get ready, get ready. And then, oh, your movie got banned because of the title. Really? Mm-hmm. Hooker did? What?
It's been touring the film festivals for so long that I almost forgot people could get offended by the title.
It's like hearing that your honor roll student is like, got arrested. You're like, really? It's mm-hmm. it? What did it do?
So are you guys kind of ready to throw the last shovel full of dirt on this whole situation? Because neither of you seem like petty people or people who, you know, you both, it seems to me, understand that, you know, holding on to negative energy and negative situations really does not, you know, fuel, you know, your creative juices unless you're going to put it, you know, into your work. You know, is your next film going to, you know, feature a festival programmer who...
No. And I'm not even upset at Tom Hutchinson. He did a really kind gesture by doing this because it's gotten a dialogue started. So many people are hearing about the film that wouldn't have heard of it before. But mm-hmm. I just wish that this could have been an opportunity to educate and everybody could gotten on the same page, because no one wanted to start a fight. Nobody wanted to be like, this is us against you. This is just a dialogue about how films work. And there's a rating board. These are 18 plus films. If an adult chooses to see one, they should be allowed to see one. And it really is, for those of you that have seen it, the violence is lovely, but it's still very, very cartoonish and over the top. To say that there's something in there that would horribly offend you, I would be surprised. In fact, the only violence that has a major tone shift in our film is when our dead hooker actually meets her demise. We try to deal with that very seriously. We're very business-oriented, Sylvie and I. I mean, we're not petty people. We make some harsh decisions, but they're always just based on business decisions. And I would have been more than happy to just go to another theater and been very quiet about it. But as an artist that's making this kind of work, and especially with the controversy over other such films, I mean, I've been hearing about a filmmaker or a prosthetic artist that was...
Yeah, we had a prosthetic artist in Montreal get arrested for making prosthetics, horror prosthetics, and they said he was morally corrupted, and he's in court right now fighting for himself.
Jesus Christ.
I know, so we couldn't have not said anything. We have to speak up because...
And I understand that Tom Hutchinson would love to keep this private. He hasn't gone into a field where he's a public person. Jennifer and I have. So when something like this happens, we really do have to talk about it and make sure people are understanding where we're coming from and on why films shouldn't be censored like this.
Right. Well, and I think just to kind of piggyback on the violence aspect, I mean, when the geek has to put the black tape over her eye, and Goody Two Shoes turns to her and says, "You know, you look like an anime character," and that's the way, as you said, until there is a tonal shift. That's the way the violence is handled when the junkie needs to get stitched up. Absolutely ridiculous, and it's like from scene to scene, she has different degrees of control over her stitched member, if you will. And it's just, you know, it's just before that tonal shift again, it doesn't take itself too seriously until it needs to, until it kind of wraps its fingers back around your heart and needs to squeeze it a bit so that you can get in line with the real emotional gravity of the situation.
Oh, that's so beautifully put, Chris. Thank you. I like that.
So,
can I ask you a question?
No.
sorry.
Of course. I've been waiting.
Have you guys reached... Oh, I'm sorry, Jen. Go ahead.
No, I was saying you were finished with your juice.
I hate you. I swear to God, I hate you. Anyway, did you guys ever reach out to the people who sent the letters and made the phone calls?
I never contacted them personally because they are very young girls, and I didn't want to bring the shitstorm that we have in the supporters of Dead Hooker on them.
Also, it's a little bit terrifying that we were able to get their contact information, their identities so readily. I didn't want to just be like, by the way, I know who you are.
We'll start with the little one.
I mean, I can appreciate that. It's very sensitive when you're dealing with, you know, essentially children.
Mm-hmm.
And that could have brought, much more dire consequences down upon yourself, but also really, harmed the psyche of a possibly already misguided child who may be operating under the very, you know, stern fist of a parent or parents who maybe you don't want to get involved with.
Oh, no, absolutely. As a theater owner, I feel that we can talk about Tom Hutchinson, but the people that chose to remain anonymous, they haven't chosen a lifestyle like Sylvie and I. I mean, we're going to come under fire again and again and again, and it's kind of nice to be brought under fire for something so silly because it's, you know, good training for when the shit really hits the fan.
Mm-hmm.
But these other people, they didn't choose this kind of lifestyle, and I'm sure it would be very difficult emotionally and mentally to be under attack the way this film has been recently under attack. I mean, it was tough when we started out, but we've hardened up a lot, so it doesn't really get to us all that much.
I think the funny thing is they're not complaining anymore. They had this big, oh, ban the movie, and then all this defense came of the film, and they just shut up. They have nothing more to say right now.
So Broadway Theater hasn't gotten any complaints.
So to me, I feel like that's a victory, that perhaps they saw the dialogue. Maybe they even had no idea who had made the film, and they checked out the site, and then they were like, oops, that was
marketing.
Probably a fuck-up.
Well, and I know. Idea, yeah. I know for me, I'm much more liberal than my wife, but my wife and I have a very, very good relationship because we both respect each other's different beliefs and viewpoints. Mm-hmm. And I know with my son who's six right now, both of us together, we really foster, an atmosphere of, you know, curiosity. And, you know, if he hears or sees something that we feel it's inappropriate for him to hear or see at his age, We don't freak out and say, oh my God, you know, what are we going to do? We don't ignore it because that's more confusing to the child. We sit and we talk to them about it.
That's so refreshing. Well, not keeping, enough.
Yeah.
That.
I mean, keeping your child, blinded, you know, during their critical years, I don't believe is helpful in any way, shape, or form. I think your child is going to see and hear terrible things or things that they don't understand, and you need to explain to them why they're not appropriate, or you need to explain to them what they are so that they have a handle on it. Because I think children who are confused and who are kept in the dark become very dangerous adults.
I agree. I couldn't agree more.
What's a Saska daddy? What's a Saska sister?
Yeah, right.
Shut up!
Never mind, son.
those are things we don't speak about in this house. So before we, I know we're running down on time here, but I wanted to, something that a lot of people don't know about Jen and Sylvia, obviously, Twisted Twins But you two, your next project that you're getting rolling here, American Mary, was actually, you know, rooted in a very personal story that involved the two of you, because you're not actually twins. Jen, you've been surgically altered to look like Sylvia, correct?
That's right. I was born a man.
Okay. So from that kind of this idea of, you know, American Mary, the perfect person, the female, you know, representation of that came about because, Jen, you finally have decided to come out and let everyone know that your life and your body has been steeped in plastic surgery for the better part of 10 years.
That's why I'm the pretty one.
So before we go, let's tease a little bit here and talk about American Mary.
Definitely. It's a very different process from going from an independent film like Dead Hooker in a Trunk, where you're paying for it by maxing out your credit cards, to American Mary, where you have a nice budget behind you and you can actually be very articulate and plan out everything. The way Jennifer and I learned about horror movies is this was the main one that really got us into it, and it kind of plays into what you were saying, Chris, about how when your son sees something, you talk to him about it. Well, that's what happened with Jen and me when we saw Poltergeist. We really loved horror movies, and we really thought we were ready for it, and we watched Poltergeist with our mom when we were about 9, 10, and as soon as it was bedtime, we were like, oh, God, I'm so scared. I'm so sorry. You're the monsters. You're going to get me.
I had to put a lock on my closet
exactly.
door.
Exactly. So what my mom did is she separated the two of us, and she sat us down and told us exactly what we saw. And she explained the artists that go behind the scenes, the ones who make the prosthetics, how everything was just carefully orchestrated by a very talented group of people who intended to scare you. And that blew my mind. I was like, wait a minute, these people work together to
right.
purposefully scare us? So we always wanted to make a film that had a lot of very insane prosthetics in it. And
we're not big CG fans.
We're not
we
big
CG
fans.
Thank you.
So with American Mary, we got it's like a playground of prosthetics. We have some incredibly, incredibly crazy, awful shit coming on for that. So.
Oh, and James wanted me to ask you quickly, when can he have his peg leg back?
Never. You hop up here and you get it.
Hell yeah, I'm in.
I'm sure everyone's heard of True Blood and 6 Feet Under, the team that was responsible for those effects. Todd Masters, a fucking genius, is our prosthetics team.
He's bringing our medical mutilation. But the story follows medical student Mary Mason as she grows increasingly broke and disenchanted with the mainstream medical society. And because she's so desperate for money, the lure of quick cash in underground surgeries lures her in, and she ends up with more scarring perhaps on herself than her so-called freakish clientele. So there are going to be a lot of I found that you could get away with a lot more medical mutilation than actual like horror mutilation, so there's gonna be a lot of taste pushing effects and sequences and scenarios that you find this poor woman in. We got Catherine Isabel from Ginger Snaps, who's going to be our title Mary Mason, and she is fucking phenomenal, and we are going to abuse the living hell out of her in this, and it's just...
I'm sorry, Katie,
but it's gonna be fucking awesome, and she's just perfect for it, and what a fucking good sport. I think, oh my god, I don't even know how many gallons of blood just go specifically on her, but a lot. She's gonna get soaked over and over again. And...
Well, can I just interrupt you quickly, just to kind of say something about Catherine? Because she's known for Ginger Snaps, and I love those films, especially the first and the third. But the big thing with – I mean, she, to me, is one of the most underutilized actors of her generation.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
And it's heartbreaking to me. I know this kind of stuff happens, and I really loved her in the Ginger Snap films. She wasn't really in the second one all that much, but there's a film called Insomnia –
Yes.
That she's actually in, and it's just a bit part because for some reason, I won't go there, but the interactions that she has with Al Pacino in that film, first of all, a young actress says herself, I mean, that's got to be intimidating as hell.
Yeah.
But she was then and continues to be my favorite part of that film because she was kind of the emotional crux that the mystery was tipping on for a bit there. And I just, after I saw her in that and saw her work with Pacino on film, it really broke my heart to see her, you know, in things, you know, like Freddy versus Jason and, you know, different films that she was just kind of plopped into, for whatever reason. And you know, like Rampage, a film by Uwe Boll, she's credited as beauty staff number two, and
what?
all of us who love these people, these actors and these filmmakers, I mean, we were like, holy shit, there's Catherine Isabel, because we never see her, and she didn't even speak.
No.
How does an actor like that, you know? So I loved her in Insomnia, I love her in Ginger Snaps, and I was just, you know, blown away to hear that not only is she going to be, you know, playing a lead, but playing a lead in a film with you guys. So I didn't mean to go off on that. I really have always felt that she's very underappreciated and underused.
No, I'm glad you said that, and I feel the same way. And next time I talk to Katie, I'll be sure to pass that along to her. She would really love to hear that.
Yeah, and give her a huge fuck off because she turned me down 3 times for this show.
Well, I might know somebody who knows Katie quite well, so we'll see what we can do about that.
Oh, Katie will be having to do a certain amount of press.
But she's so wonderful, and it's so frustrating to me that I see all these talentless little bitches leading all these films, and you're like, Catherine Isabel, she can act with Pacino. She's acted with Halle Berry. Nobody makes this girl nervous. No one unnerves her, and she's so good. Mm-hmm. And then you look at her, like, she's on a series right now called Endgame, And blink and you'll miss her. She's the beautiful bartender that's there for 2 seconds every now and then. And I'm like, you have the one of the most talented people out there, and you are not using her at all.
Mm-hmm. To see what they're doing with her in that series and what we are doing with her in Mary is like night and day. Oh, you wouldn't cast the same actress for both roles.
She is almost in every single frame of this film, and it's really going to be nice because I think it's, with Ginger Snaps, it was a very younger role. She was much younger, and this is almost like...
Even though
like,
she had a lot of maturity.
Even though she always has a lot of maturity. Mm-hmm. This is just twin banter right now.
That's fine. I mean, this is, you know, people are really excited about American Mary. And the funny thing is the buzz that Hooker has maintained for so long within the community, it was almost like too, you know... Is it too soon? It was like an earthquake and an aftershock because Dead Hooker, you know, was resonating throughout the community. And then all of a sudden we get word about American Mary and we start seeing images and, you know, teasers and posters and things like that. And it's just really been fascinating to watch, you know, Dead Hooker maintain its hold on the community and then watch as people are just going apeshit about American Mary. It's just really, really exciting.
Oh, I'm so glad. It's weird. We never intended for this to happen, but it looks like Dead Hooker's going to be coming out at the exact around the same time American Mary's going to be coming out. It'll be out at the end of this year also. We already have a festival set up for the first premiere, and then we're going to put her everywhere, and it's going to be very interesting to see the reaction to it because it is a much more mature, concise piece. And I think the horror aspects there are more of a straightforward horror than Dead Hooker was. And I think people are going to be really shocked with how nasty some things get. But
it gets way more fucked up than Dead Hooker in a trunk. Having said that, it's clean, it's polished, it's thoughtful, but then there's the, oh my god, how are you doing that moment.
There's one particular sequence that everybody laughs at. They're like, what the fuck inspired this? Oh my god. Oh my god, this is awful. And we're just so proud of that. I just hope we can sit in a dark theater and hear a bunch of people gagging and running out. And being like, we did it, you guys.
If someone vomits and runs out, we can just retire. That's all we need.
Saskatoon.
Saskatoon. We'll see if the Roxy Theater wants to premiere it.
No kidding.
Double feature.
Well, before we do go, I want to throw a bug in your ear. I know that... You know, you are by no means, you know, rich and you know, you don't roll around on $100 bills on your heart-shaped beds at night. But I think when American Mary does make its premiere, I think you should find, you know, the cash and make it happen. I think, James gets flown to the premiere and he does a man on the street before and after with audience members, for the premiere. I picture James in a nice powder blue tuxedo.
Pink.
And a microphone.
With blue ruffle.
James, where are you?
Mobile, Alabama.
Alabama? We can get you definitely to one of the screenings, for sure.
And then, you get him talking to the audience members and get this on tape. And when American Mary goes on DVD, then you slap that on there and you got James DiPaolo, Man on the Street, American Mary. So
I would love that. We have the LA one, so you can meet all the fancy people to talk to.
And they can hear a real person speak, huh?
A real person with real opinions.
Yeah.
Not like those glossy pieces of shit you see interviewing people with no personality and nothing to say.
Exactly. Someone who's going to be willing to ask the real questions that all of us want answers to.
Support Saskatoon t-shirts. We love Saskatoon.
So on that note, I certainly again want to just relay to both of you what an honor and a pleasure it was to have you on the show. You're both.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, absolutely,
so much for having us.
Absolutely. And if it weren't for James, of course, this wouldn't have happened. And you know, James, I wanted to thank you again for putting me in touch with these two wonderful people and for making this happen and for being such a great friend and a great supporter of all things Conduit.
Yay! Yay, speech! Hey, so, can I say something really quick? Just one thing.
Yeah.
I want to say to Jen and Sylvia that I love them. They are incredible. They are just amazing, amazing women.
Oh, James, we love you.
We love you.
You're so fake.
James, you're stuck with us forever. You are stuck. James did the unfortunate thing of being nice to us, and now we've been blown.
He'll never get rid of you.
James! Sasuke's like an STD once you have it. Well, you got it. You got it good, and James, you have a bad case of Sasuke.
Thank you. Yeah, let me go to my mailbox. American Mary's there. Hold on, I gotta go see it.
You'll be wrapped up in their loving arms soon enough, James.
I will see.
So, Dead Hooker in a Trunk, and we have the DVD, the UK DVD release on that, on the 28th of May. And upcoming 23rd of May. And we have the worldwide distribution coming very shortly, that announcement. Hopefully we'll
September
be...
September 11th.
Oh, perfect. And then, of course, American Mary that you're assuring us will be in theaters maybe the end of the year around the same time that that Dead Hooker will go worldwide. So
December 11th.
December. So busy,
that's
busy,
anniversary.
Busy.
Yeah. Oh, James, you remembered our anniversary? Oh, we do love you.
That's when we first met at the park.
When you finally came out from behind the tree.
Yeah, I was wearing a hooker outfit.
All right. Well, Jen, Sylvia, and James, thank you so much. And you all take care.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's been a pleasure.
Gentlemen, thank you. We can't wait
to be back.
You take good care, okay?
You too, guys. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.